thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Java with Josh. I'm your host, legislator Josh Lafazan. Today we have a really exciting show with financial guru and Tap Intuit founder Taylor Price joining us. As we say every week, having big dreams is common, but figuring out how to achieve those dreams is rare. On this show, we interview some truly incredible people to share their journeys to success and give you the tools to reach your dreams. So grab your cup of Java and let's go. Taylor Price, welcome to Java with Josh.
Thanks for having me.
Sure. So I'm a huge fan of yours. I follow you. Your videos are amazing. And I actually take financial advice from you. And for our followers who are meeting you for the first time, Taylor Price is a social media influencer and content creator who is best recognized for financial and investment advice videos that she posts on our TikTok account at Priceless Tay. Taylor is a serial entrepreneur and is the founder of her own company, Tap Intuit, a community formed around helping Gen Z become financially free and literate. So Taylor, we've spoken at length about your story. Your story is exceptional. But for our viewers who are meeting you for the first time, can you tell us, why did you start Tap Intuit? And how did you start Tap Intuit?
Yeah, so I started college as a pre-med, like many other young females who have been growing up being told by doctors. And I have a scoliosis spinal fusion. And I quickly realized within my first semester, I was not able to pursue that as my career. As we all know, you have to go not only to college, but you have to go to medical school after that. And it's going to take how many years to become a neurosurgeon, which is what I wanted to become. So the next semester, I changed my direction and I headed into finance because my mom's like, hey, Taylor, you should try this. At that point in my life, I had absolutely no idea what I wanted to do, where I wanted to go, because prior to that, I was doing internships across the United States in St. Louis, Missouri, going to different universities and studying all of this medical camp ideas and internships for neurology. And I said, hey, might as well try it. And I went in expecting, okay, this is like money management. This is budgeting. This is credit card. This is everything about retirement. Very, very personal finance stuff. And I quickly soon realized, oh, no. When you go into a finance major, it's very, very corporate. DCFs, a lot of financial modeling, a lot of stuff that's not applicable whatsoever if you're not in the corporate world. And so I quickly realized then, I come from upstate New York, where it's a state that's not required to be 6 out of those 50 states in the United States to require a personal finance class. And so I grew up not knowing really too much about personal finance, as it wasn't required in my school. And once I joined college, like I said, I realized that, hey, this is something that needs to be taught. And so I started a blog kind of talking about my frustration with the school system, what really needs to be taught. And it started to grow within my community. And after that, I had a friend out in LA who's like, Taylor, you need to hop on this platform called TikTok. And during that time, it was like younger brothers and sisters using it. And nobody my age was using it, especially within my hometown. Like, I don't know anybody from my hometown that really uses TikTok still. And it's not something that was really trending or popular where I'm from. But fast forward to December 2019, January 2020, I flew out to LA on business. I started a TikTok and I quickly realized, and everybody else did too, about 10 videos in, I had my first viral video. And from there, I've realized that, wow, this is absolutely amazing how many people want to learn about financial literacy. And to bring in Tap Intuit all into this, Tap Intuit was that blog. It started off as that blog. It's what ignited the Priceless Tay brand. It's what ignited a huge, huge uproar in the school systems of people being frustrated with not knowing about financial literacy, and bringing it back to, you don't know what you don't know. And so Tap Intuit's really what ignited this whole entire movement, I want to call it, within Gen Z.
I think it's wonderful. I will tell you that, you know, this next generation coming up, you know, they're my generation, you know, we're digital natives, but this next generation grew up with a smartphone in hand. Mm-hmm. So why is it so important that your generation understands finance? I, you know, this is a new push, but why is it so important for your generation to get it?
listen, people come from backgrounds of all the way up or all the way low. And so there needs to come a time and time and place where for the people that are at lower lows or lower income, they need to start changing their generation and stop making finance a generational thing. We want to make finance a positive generational wealth, not negative, carrying on some student loan debt that somebody else had to carry on, or carry on a mortgage that somebody else had to carry on, or carry on credit card debt. We want our generation and the next future generations to have the ability to live a, you know, prosperous life, being that finance, guess what? So many people, I know friends and family who have personally gotten divorced because of financial stress. I know people who just deal with financial stress and it makes them have depression, it makes them have anxiety and a whole array of other mental illnesses. And unfortunately, money and finance is a huge pain point for a lot of different people. And so my generation suffers massively, not just from social media depression and anxiety because of what we're seeing on there, but also guess what? Now we still have to go to college, get that piece of paperwork to get our credentials to validate ourselves within this world. And for most, that includes a huge paycheck to have to pay back to somebody.
And I love the mission of allowing people to live like, you know, a little bit of a freer life. I want to backtrack because we've spoken about this. So on this show, we say a lot of people have big dreams, but fewer people know how to actually execute those dreams. You decided to just start. And I tell people all the time, the best way to start something is just to do it. What was it like to just say, well, and what was it like to just say, I'm going to do this? Were people backing you? Were there detractors? What was it like to take the leap, as we call it here?
There are so many detractors, but luckily within my family, I have a lot of strong, you know, female dominant figures within my life. Like in my household, I think it's run mostly like female dominant. My mom's the one that's running the books. My mom's sister, my aunt, is the one who is predominantly managing the finances. And so coming from that background first gives me a little bit of an edge where mostly in other households that the male is predominantly dealing with the finances. And so first off, that gave me a little bit of motivation, but also the fact that when I was 14, like I said, I endured a spinal fusion surgery from scoliosis, and that has really opened up my eyes to the value of life. I have had this fortune cookie that has a saying, when an opportunity knocks on the door, open it. And ever since then, really just been taking any opportunity. I realized the value of life. Like people, when they first think of, I'm sure you guys listening out there, you probably think of, oh, life, live life to the fullest is just like a generic YOLO type thing. But it really is so true. Like I was on the operating table for 8 hours. I had 2 years to a full recovery. I had to relearn to walk and not to like pity myself or self-doubt. This is where my motivation really came from, because time is of the essence. And guess what? We don't have hundreds of years. We only have like on average between 70 and 80 years to do what we really want to do in this life. So it's up to you whether you want to pursue it or not.
I think that's such wonderful advice. And by the way, you practice what you preach, which I think makes your advice even more prescient, is that, people say, life is short. We have no idea how long our time is on this earth. So why not spend the time while we're here going after what we want? And that's what I think you're trying to help people do with financial literacy. I do want to hear though, because it seems like you're everywhere. You're certainly all over my Instagram timeline. What does a day-to-day look like? Because you got to be the busiest person on my timeline.
It's
for sure.
So crazy. Oh my goodness. So I actually just graduated college. So that alleviates a huge amount of pressure that's on my back. But previously, like a few days ago, it was, okay, do my college work in the morning. Then it's going on to tap into it, seeing what meetings I have for there, looking at my business operations and getting in contact with the manager who operates and getting the, status updates. And then a lot of meetings that happen that I like to do this theory called time blocking. Elon Musk does it. Shout out to him. He basically, what you do is, okay, from 9 to 10 a.m., this is exactly what I'm doing. If I don't finish during that time, I end it. If I time block, let's say, okay, now I have time at 3 to 4 to finish up whatever task I didn't do, that's when I'll do it. And so by doing this, I'm able to produce at a high pace. And so that's what I do with influencing. Every single Sunday, I sit down for hours on end and I film my TikToks, I'll film my YouTube video, I'll film anything that has to do for Instagram, I'll film anything that's, whether it's a podcast or an interview or something along those lines. And so excuses, there's no excuses out there, guys. You have the time, make the time, just do it. And so that's really kind of how I schedule my day. It's very organized. I use this platform called Notion. And through that, I have my daily routine, I have my weekly agenda, and then I just have my monthly, yearly overview. And so it's very, very organized and structured.
I love that. First of all, I'm going to steal the time blocking. I'm going to steal because I know oftentimes I'll finish something and then if I don't finish it, I'll have to do it at midnight because I didn't leave time to finish it. So I'm definitely going to steal that for you. I want to pivot and talk about some of these lessons that you talk about, on your TikTok, you know, and I wrote down a couple, which I want to get into, but where did these lessons come from? Are they ideas that you have? Are there ideas that listener have? You know, where do you get your inspiration for this content? And how do you create your content?
It's a huge mix. So when we're talking about side hustles, I have a lot of side hustle TikToks, a series that's done pretty well, like about 10 million views on one video about hand lettering. And so some of them are more from my creative flow. Others are more from, like, I didn't learn about the 50-20-30 rule myself. I didn't make up that rule. I think I saw it somewhere, maybe on YouTube or somewhere over the internet, but it's what you want to do with it. For example, the 50-20-30 rule, for those of you who are listening and don't know what it is, it's a popular budgeting method that means 50% of your income goes to needs, 30% goes to wants, and 20% goes to savings. And so with this rule, a lot of people have had so much controversy. Well, if you live in a state like California, guess what? You probably have like 70% living expenses just alone. And then you have to budget for taxes as well too. And your wants, you may not be able to want, you can barely even save for yourself. And so it just all comes down to these three categories: needs, wants, and savings when including within your budget. And so these lessons, yes, some of them are like rigid. However, I put my own creative spin and say, hey, guess what? 50-20-30 rule doesn't work for you depending on where you live. You have this other alternative here for you too that I have created. I have made it in such a way where it's easy for anybody from being a fifth grader plus on to understand.
I think it's wonderful because something that, you know, what you talk about, and I think what makes you so popular is you don't just say, just do it, live your best life, these catchy platitudes. You actually give people, concrete tasks and concrete pieces of ideas. And I know preparing for your interview, I asked a couple of my young interns, what would you like to know? And they all told me the same thing. I have $300. I have $500. I have, you know, a few hundred bucks. And the big thing now is to open a Robinhood or open a Stash account. What do you say to those kids? Like, you know, what they have $400, $500. What should they do with it? Because they tell me that they learned that they shouldn't put it in the bank. They shouldn't invest.
This is one of my most biggest questions as well too, being that TikTok is generally Gen Z and they're just getting started. And so I like to vision this, follow along with me. It's the money tree. We're all growing up saying that, oh, it doesn't exist. Stop thinking about that. It's not real. But here's my visualization of how it could become real in your life. So you start off with the seed of budgeting, and that is how this tree needs to grow. Without the seed, without proper taking care of it, the tree is going to fall off. It's going to die. It's not going to germinate or do anything good like that. And so you water it with a good credit score. You water it with that emergency fund. You need to have an emergency, guys, emergency fund. You don't know if you're going to have medical expenses come up. You don't know if your job is going to lay you off. And of course, yes, if you're a teen, you may not have to really think about it, but it's a good position in your life that you know you have the safety to start preparing for your financial life after the fact. Because guess what? If you're in your teens, you probably have less than a decade where until you're on your own and you have to fend for yourself. So it's good to start preparing now. After you start building that little foundation where you have a good budget, you have an emergency fund, you have started your credit card or your credit score, then that's where you have this like small tree. It's not really producing a lot of money yet, but it's still there and it's kind of starting to grow. Okay, now you have these branches that are starting to just kind of be there, but as we know, branches are not as strong as a trunk of the tree. So the trunk of the tree is really strong. The seed is your foundation, and then you have these branches. Branches are things that are not guaranteed. And unfortunately, guys, I must tell you, the stock market or investing is not guaranteed. The market fluctuates on average. It's about 10% year returns. However, there are times where we do fall into recession. So one of these branches for you can be starting to invest. Another branch for somebody else may be turning your side hustle into a business. Another branch may be starting to invest into real estate and build multifamily properties. And so on the top here, that is where you get these money producing things, this passive income that literally starts to generate money for you, letting your money work for you so that you don't have to eventually work for that money. And so when you have $300 to $500, it comes down to, okay, first off, let's start budgeting, right? Don't just hop into investing and get into something that's gambling when you don't even really know too much about the previous stuff. You want to build that strong financial foundation. Think of it as a seed. Remember, guys, we want to build like sequoia trees at the end of the day, like huge, huge, huge money trees. And then after that, start your emergency fund, get a credit card, start putting if you pay for gas, start paying for gas on there. If you have a Netflix subscription, put on your Netflix subscription there, turn on automatic payments so you never miss a credit card statement. And then once you feel comfortable enough and you're ready at that point, you have your savings, you have your budget in place, try your hand out in investing. And that's really all I can say when you're a teen getting ready to start. It's just so important to build that strong foundation so you can build a massive sequoia money-making producing tree in a few years from now.
Again, we talk about, you know, you giving concrete examples. That sequoia tree is going to stick in my head now. And every step I make, should I buy this stock or should I buy this expensive dinner? Every step I take is going to help build it. I do want to ask you, because I have some other specific questions from our viewers, but I want to ask you, so you grew this huge following, 700,000 plus, and you did it organically. You know, how in the world does somebody do that? You know, I have 3,800 followers. You know, I thought I was a big shot.
Mm-hmm. Consistency is key. So I literally relate it every single day I post. And if I don't post, that means that there's something really, really, really important that's going on in my life, or I'm just feeling unmotivated to do so. Or like I said, something like crucial or extenuating circumstances have come a part of my life. But consistency is key. If you're not on social media, picture this. It's like your following are your friends. They're basically your friends at the end of the day that are online. And so if you don't post, and let's say you post every day and you're not there that one day, well, guess what? You just got ghosted. That's literally how my generation, I think, thinks of people following on social media. Like if Mr. Beast did not post on a certain day, everybody would go crazy. Like he ghosted us. Where is he at, guys? And so in order to build that strong following, you got to be consistent. Lay out that time blocking schedule so you have no excuses, and seriously, just show up. Just show up and start and really be consistent.
I love that. And it's great advice for anything you're going to do in this life, is just to build and be consistent and have that patience. I do want to ask you as well, because you have had that patience and you have had that consistency and it's worked. Where do you just graduated college. Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
in 10 years, I see myself as an angel investor, just a normal investor. I never see myself in the corporate world, a property investor and manager, but I also do see myself as well too as a founder and really growing tap into it, to go into more of the fintech space, building social communities, centered around personal finance. As we live in this global pandemic of a financial literacy gap, and one of the ways in which we can help treat it, it's not like a vaccine or anything, guys, like we're living in today. It's just talking and spreading word and being open about our finances. It doesn't have to be a percent exactly. Okay, let's say I have $1,000 in the bank. It could say, oh, I have 10% here in this account. I have 20% here in that account. Or it could just be, I have this account, that's it. But it's just starting the conversation in order to learn, because I don't know about you, but the way in which I learn is by asking a shit ton of questions. I ask questions all the time. I'm super curious and inquisitive about things. And so that's really where I want to be headed.
I love that. And by the way, something I teach my interns all the time is that, many believe asking questions is a sign of weakness because you're admitting you don't know something. It is a sign of strength and humility that you are seeking new information. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
And it's going to segue into, you know, I ask my interns and I ask my young viewers, I said, what would you like to learn? And quite frankly, these lessons about, you know, financial literacy are for any of our viewers. But I want to ask you, so one of the popular videos you had was how to negotiate a salary. You want to talk about briefly how to do that?
Yeah, of course. So people obviously think that, okay, when you're negotiating a salary, it literally just means, okay, instead of $60,000 a year, I'm going to earn $70,000 or I'm going to earn $80,000. But that just doesn't have to be the case. First off, if it's numbers wise, you want to have your employer talk to you first. You never want to be the first one out into the negotiation process. You don't know how much they have to give unless they start asking. And so they pitch you their price, you pitch them back at a high ball, and then somewhere eventually you meet in the middle. But if that's not the case and they're extremely, you know, they don't have funds, let's say it is COVID-19 and some companies or businesses don't have the opportunity, well, there are other non-monetary compensation benefits, which could be a longer vacation time, a different stipend, just more days off, just a whole different array of stuff that's not necessarily monetary. However, it can benefit you as well.
I love that. And the second question I want to ask is all these side hustles. They say, Josh, I'm in school, but I have time. Or Josh, I work, but I, you know, it's 9 to 5 and then I still have a little energy after. You know, what are some side hustles you recommend?
It really depends what you're interested in. For example, if you love gaming is a booming industry. The esports industry in particular is turning out to be a $1 billion industry. So if you like gaming, why don't you try starting to play in tournaments? That's a good way to start. And if that, start streaming on Twitch, build a following, build a personal brand. I like to say building a personal brand nowadays is investing in yourself, but also building digital real estate. People are looking at personal brands as huge resume builders. Like, for example, I've been contacted by TD Ameritrade. I've been contacted by USB to go immediately after college into a corporate job just because they have seen my TikTok and they've seen my social following and they see my dedication and persistence and how I react in different social situations just by having a social media page. And so one thing that my team, a girl on my team actually had mentioned was companies like to see public profiles and just see how you interact with people, see how consistent you are, and that kind of thing. And so I think that's a really great side hustle that could really benefit you in the long run.
I love that. And I love the fact that, you know, we're all responsible for our own personal brand and building that personal brand and how it's non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. And it leads me to my last question, because you've obviously learned so much so young and achieved so much so young. What would be the biggest piece of advice that you would give to your younger self? And we ask this question to every guest that we have. biggest piece of advice that you would give to your younger self?
Start earlier than later. This goes all around the board from investing. It's a key, crucial piece of advice, you know, from really any aspect. I think, like I said, there's only so much time that we have. During high school, I was so self-conscious about what I looked. I've been actually interested in YouTube ever since I was like 10. My first YouTube page was streaming Minecraft. I used to stream Minecraft games back in like seventh grade. So, and I stopped because I got super self-conscious. I was scared about what people thought of me. And I don't like, I could be near, if you guys are listening to this, I could be near Pokimane, like probably by now, which is, if you don't know who she is, she's a very large streamer, very successful streamer on Twitch. And so just, again, it comes back to the regret. There's no worse feeling than regret. You can't do anything about it. You'll live with it for the rest of your life. So if you're able to just start now and do the things that you want to do, you won't have that feeling of regret.
I think that's a perfect place to wrap, that we have one life. We have one opportunity to do all we can on this earth, and that to leave it all on the field, as some of my coaches said, and as you said, to make sure you live a life without regret. Taylor, you are a remarkable person. I have no doubt that whether it's Secretary of Education or seeing you on Shark Tank, sorry, Secretary of the Treasury, wherever we're going to see you, you're remarkable, and your commitment to helping your generation is admirable. I'm proud to call you a friend, and I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Josh.
Thanks so much for tuning in. And thank you to Taylor Price for an amazing conversation. Make sure to click subscribe to our podcast and check us out on Instagram and Facebook for videos and bonus features. I'd also love to hear your questions and comments. Feel free to shoot me an email at josh@joshlafazan.com. I'm legislator Josh Lafazan. And thanks for joining us at Java with Josh.